This is the Technical Difficulties, and today we are playing Reverse Trivia. Joining me today is Tom Scott.
Hi.
Then it's me.
Yeah, I'm Chris Joel.
And him.
And me.
Gary Brannan.
Yes, always.
You've thrown me off, Matt.
And I'm Matt Gray, and I'm handing over to the man with the plan, Gary Brannan.
We've got a lot of specially written question cards, and I can't see them.
Neither can either of these two.
However, Tom is grasping something firmly in his fist.
I am.
Tom, what are you going to do with what you have in your fist?
I'm
going
to read out the answers. All these three have to do is guess the questions. And we start today with deuteragonist.
The what?
Deuteragonist.
Was that not one of the cats in Cats?
That's all Deuteronomy.
Close.
I was going to say, is that the protagonist from the Bible book of Deuteronomy?
The deuteragonist.
The deuteragonist.
Oh.
Wait, does deuter mean two or several? Because you can have the protagonist, the antagonist, and the deuteragonist.
You can.
Am I right?
Oh. You're right.
Bloody hell. What's that then? The person that has no relevance to a plot whatsoever.
Yeah, the guy stood immediately left of the protagonist all the way through.
Yes.
Is it an extra?
No, you're really close there.
Oscar for best... assistant, what's the second role? Supporting actor.
Supporting actor.
Yeah. What term is given to the secondary main character in a story, such as a sidekick or love interest?
Accidentally etymologized the right
you
answer.
You did, yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Has it got a Latin root?
Yes, it is late Latin from Greek.
Aha! There it is.
GCSE in Latin.
Yes, a word-forming element meaning second from Latin deutero. Can you name me just a couple of deuteragonists, the ones I might have on my card, the famous
Robin.
Ones? Yeah, Robin would count.
Hutch.
Yeah. Hutch.
Oh. Yeah, what's the term for when you have two protagonists?
A duotagonist.
That would be a dual protagonist, not a deuteragonist.
Yeah. Oh, these are the ones you're going to have over Christmas, aren't they? They hold arguments around the dinner table. I think you'll find that's a dual protagonist.
It's a pretty savage thing to say to somebody, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. You are the sidekick.
Yeah, sir, thou art the deuteragonist of my life.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, Vicar, the answer is I do.
I mean, it could be...
other than and Hutch. I mean, yeah, like any of those kind of...
I've got Dr. Watson from Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And Samwise in The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, and the Doctor's Assistant.
Yes.
They would all be
deuteragonists. Which brings me on to Gran Canaria.
Oh.
What is the question on my card?
It's what you take down the biggest of mines.
Gran Canaria.
It's actually got a little mining helmet on, the belt and everything. It just...
I thought it was grand as in regal.
No, I was thinking grand as in size.
Little tiny crown.
It's got a little crown. It's wearing the velvet cape and all of the fluffy ruffs.
Had a massive canary in, like, mining clothes.
Bent fag out to each mouth. Drop the cage, Nigel. I can smell a seam coming.
When they say cage, it is actually just a big canary cage rather than the mining cage they're actually going down in.
It's sat on a little perch.
Sorry, why am I doing that for dropping a mining cage? There's a lift, there's a winding thing. That's the point of a coal pit. It's got the winding thing at the top. That's not the point of a coal pit.
It's got a canary in it.
It's got a canary in it and just a canary. It puts it out, waddles out. It's got his little snapped in under his wing.
I just checked the...
I don't know if that's my arse or fire damp. If I pass out, you know which one it is.
Snap tins.
Yes.
Snap tins?
Well, you know, we went up the mining museum.
Yes.
Whenever we were rattling about not doing this.
Down the mining museum.
Well, we went up first.
We did, that's
up
true.
To go down.
Yes. Up to go down, anyway.
No. On average, I wonder where we ended up.
do you remember when we were walking around? And he says, oh, this is our snap tin. Yeah. I don't know where the name snap for food came from. Unhooks it. Clack. Clack.
Was it a deliberate joke? Was it someone who hadn't realised the irony? We genuinely don't know.
I think it was just made by the sibling of Crackle and Pop.
Who also worked for many years in mineral extraction.
I don't know. Where
do you think they got the iron from to fortify the cereal?
Just imagine the disappointment, though. You're down the mine. You think you're stopping for lunch. And not only is it Rice Krispies, but it's only every third Rice Krispie.
It's just a lot more milk in the tin.
I've never done this experiment, but apparently if you've got like iron fortified cereals, if you mush certain types of them up, put a magnet over them, you can extract the iron out of them.
Wow. Because it is just iron.
It's just very fine powdered iron. So if you
and if you put Cocoa Pops next to Rice Krispies, do they repel each other as well?
Yes.
No, but if you grind Cocoa Pops up, you do get the cocaine back out.
Cocaine Pops.
They're Moorish. Boom.
Get up there. Just one.
He got a line of just the little pops.
Yeah, the dust from the bottom of a Cocoa Pops bag retailing for many tens of thousands of pounds.
It'll make you nest quick.
Hey!
I just had to double check the pronunciation of Gran Canaria because it occurred to me I've never heard it said out loud. And I was just kind of guessing.
But I have been to Gran Canaria. Right. So, I think I only pronounced it Gran Canaria and no one went, I think you'll find...
Well, I realise you saying that, we've actually skipped a step because we've now just acknowledged it's an island.
It is. It is.
But the real question here that we're looking for is what isn't Fuerteventura?
Or Lanzarote.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tenerife.
Is it about big dogs?
Why would it be about big dogs?
Cane.
Ah. Ah. Big dogs' arses.
Big dogs' arse island.
Grand Canaria.
It's big dog arse island, everyone.
GCSE in
then again,
we
then
need
again,
to rebrand.
Have you seen the people that holiday there?
They're lovely.
The name Canary Islands is derived from dogs, not canaries. Oh. It is from that bit of Latin.
Because didn't Columbus stop there on his way over? Like it was like the last point before they voyaged into the unknown was the Canary Islands, possibly Gran Canaria. And I know something like they were like wild dogs. I mean, the question comes, how do the wild dogs get there? It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. We're looking for the capital of it.
Mahon.
G.
Oh, you bastard.
Is it something Catholic?
Is it Porto or Mahon or Sella?
Porto
or
is mainland Portugal.
The Porto Sella or something.
It just translates as, I think, the Palms.
Las Palmas.
Absolutely right. Las Palmas is the capital of which of the Canary Islands, home to the Maspalomas Dunes Nature Reserve. Does anyone know about that nature reserve? Because I'm just going off my card here.
Yeah. Dunes suggests sand?
I'm glad none of you knew about that because the note on my card is that Maspalomas Dunes are home to lots of naturists. It is both a nature reserve and a naturist reserve.
It's a naturist.
It's a nature reserve for naturists.
Yes, that's a good prize for this show, yeah. That is.
Are the naturists protected?
I mean,
no, they're naked. Anything can get to them. That's what I think. If they run out of them, do they have to kind of have a breeding program and put some more back in?
I don't think that's an issue somehow.
Yes, Las Palmas is the capital of Gran Canaria, chaps.
Hey.
Which brings me on to Yahoo. That's the answer on my card. What is the question?
Humans bred for food for the Houyhnhnms.
Holy cow.
Well, something along those lines.
In what?
Gulliver's Travels. Jonathan Swift.
You have half of the answer.
Oh.
The other half?
In 2000s, what was the popular email client named after?
What technology company shares its name with a race of people in Gulliver's Travels?
Yeah, look at that.
What is Gulliver's Travels? I've heard of it, but I know nothing of it.
It's Jack Black, innit?
Yeah.
it's a bloke travelling through a number of fantastical worlds. There's one where the people...
Oh, the Empire!
There's one where the people are very little. That's where Lilliputian comes from. There's one where the people are very big. I can't remember what that's called. Brobdingnagian comes from that. There's one where the intelligent creatures are the horses and the people are bred. I don't know if it was for food, I was grasping at it, but as pack animals or whatever else. There might be a couple of other bits. Maybe because it's Jonathan Swift. It's satire, of course.
It is, of course.
Satire.
It was, of course, very funny. Mm. And like any historical, very funny is not very funny.
Mm.
Hello to everyone watching this in 2085 and being very confused by the references.
Yep, nothing ages worse.
Yes, we've got through that. Yahoo is both a technology company and a race of people in Gulliver's Travels. Oh, that went wrong.
Thank you. That went up.
That right. Which brings me on to Rod is the answer on my card. What is the question?
Jane and Freddy from Rainbow.
No.
Emu.
Is it named after the place in East Yorkshire where everyone talks like this?
I'm
from all... Rod Hull?
Not that hole. Sorry, not that Rod.
Not that hole.
Gentlemen, we've run out of rods.
All right.
What would you find adjacent to cones?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
in
you would.
Your eye.
Mm.
Well done. A little sticker for you.
It was the point where I'd run out of all of the other rods.
Rods, yes.
Yes, we are talking about that. What's the difference between rods and cones?
I feel like there's QI klaxons waiting for black and white versus colour here, yeah. But that's what I was taught at school.
And for once, school was absolutely right.
Oh,
yeah.
That is it.
Is that is actually it. Rods are low light vision and cones are colour in brighter vision.
As rods is what you use at night then when you're trying not to bang your toe on the banister.
When you're not turning the light on to wake everyone up, but you still manage to aim for the bowl.
It's a skill, isn't it? And there's nothing more disconcerting than like when you move house or spend some time in another person's house. The dread moment when you've navigated your way to the carsy in the dark.
And you've realised you're pissing in a wardrobe.
And it's the laundry basket.
And you're still in your house.
This is why for the Aurora that we had this year.
Yes.
Why did it look better on phone cameras?
Oh, because they're really faint. We're not getting enough photons in our eyes for the cones to do anything.
Yes.
Whereas the camera can do a longer exposure and get all of that information in.
Yeah, so it's bright enough that you're activating the cone cells in your eyes. Those pick up colour, but they are not nearly as sensitive.
I'm imagining cornettos in your eyes. That's not going to be bad.
Oh, it's a tiny little portion for a start. Surely.
Wait, they've got red, green and blue as well, haven't they, cornettos?
But what about the chocolate bits? How does that relate in this?
They're the rods. Next answer on the card, sloth bear. What is the question?
Well, the sloths don't wear any clothes, so they're always bear, right?
Ah,
hey!
Is a sloth a bear?
It's more of a dog, isn't it?
Dog? A tree dog?
Yeah.
Because they've got the big, big, big arms and the big claws and everything, haven't they? That's why I thought they may be bear-related to being a bear.
I don't does animals.
Adopting as I am the international position for sloths.
Yes, absolutely.
Sloths apparently most closely related to anteaters.
Wow.
They're just out on their own as an order.
Their own thing.
Oh, a suborder. Apologies.
So you got the anteaters and you got the uncle eaters.
Hey.
Gluttony hippo. I can't think of any more sins.
Oh, sinful animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wrathful eagle?
Penguin.
Most
penguin.
Of them.
Wrath penguin. Sloth bear.
Lust.
Chaffinch.
Lust chaffinch. I was trying to find an animal that wouldn't seem weird to follow up with. And chaffinch, you're right. That was a good one.
The thing is, every single one of these, especially sloth bear, sounds like a prog band.
Yes.
Or an excellent idea for a cartoon series with a lot of merchandising.
We are talking about animation here.
Oh, is it one of those characters that isn't really quite an animal and what they actually are is a sloth bear?
No, it's what someone is called abroad. Am I right?
No.
I was thinking like Yogi Bear might be called Sloth Bear when you do a literal translation from Indian.
Oh, I see why, but no.
No, I think a sloth bear is a real type of animal. So it's where does this animal appear in the great canon of animation?
Yes.
Is that what Winnie the Pooh is?
No.
No.
No, you'd be gluttony again.
Of course.
Yes, you're right. That's
but he is quite slothful.
That's true.
He all he wants to do is sit around and eat his honey.
Is it Paddington?
It's not.
He's a drop bear Paddington.
If I tell you this, this bear is also known as the Indian bear. It feeds on fruits, ants, and termites, and is native to the Indian subcontinent. Does that
narrow? Oh, Baloo.
Baloo,
oh.
From Disney's Jungle Book is a sloth bear.
He's got which does fit as the joke as
it
well.
Does. Yes.
He too is slothful.
And he eats his prickly pawpaw.
And he's very arms as well, isn't he?
He like, is like arms. A sloth. Yeah.
Yep, in the remake, he's a Himalayan brown bear. But yes, in the original animated
well,
version.
That's ridiculous, because how is a Himalayan brown bear going to wear coconuts to look like King Louis? You need the arms, otherwise you won't look like an orangutan.
Yeah.
And you will never fool anyone else in the Jungle Kingdom.
We were talking about translations as well. What does Baloo translate as?
Does it translate literally to
It translates literally in Hindi to bear. Well, it's derived from the Hindi for bear. Yeah, so
that's a classic one of what do you call it? What's the name for that thing in your language? Bear. He's calling it bear.
It's also a classic Disney 1960s thing of what are we going to name this animal?
Yeah.
Sure, pick that language, that'll do.
But no, it wouldn't be Disney in the 60s, would it? If it's Jungle Book, it's Rudyard Kipling.
This is in the movie. In the animated movie in 1967, Disney picked a sloth bear, an Indian bear.
Oh, I see. They've just picked any owl bear there.
Yes. There is one wonderful bit of trivia on my card here. The vultures in the film were originally going to be voiced by who?
The Beatles. Well, the idea was, were they ever actually going to do it?
They decided not to be in the film.
So they designed the vultures if it was going to be them? Because that's why they got. That's why vultures, they give them the whole cut and they're all, what are we going to do?
Yeah,
that's why we go over the east side of the jungle. There's always a swinging party going on there.
Yeah, they are inspired by the Beatles and the Beatles decided not to be in the film.
Do they visually represent them?
Close enough.
Is there like a John...
Not anymore.
The reference is... Well, there's a John Wilkes Booth eagle just over there ready to... That's the wrong one. That's the wrong... John Chapman. What's his name?
No. The John Wilkes Booth eagle ready to take out that giraffe with the big top hat and watching the jungle play.
What was John Lennon's assassin called?
Mark Chapman.
Mark Chapman, that's it.
It's John Wilkes Booth. But that's a great triple barrel surname. John Wilkes Booth Eagle.
The Lee Harvey Oswald hyena. Up in the banana depository. As King Louis brought through.
You got Carr behind the grassy knoll.
Yeah, he was brainwashed into doing it, but it was by a snake going like this.
Snakes do hypnotism, we all know that. Yeah. But who replaces...
Snipe the president.
Who takes on the role of Lyndon B. Johnson? An elephant for Jumbo, remember?
Yes.
Because that's what he called his cock.
Yes. A sloth bear is indeed Baloo in the 1967 Disney film The Jungle Book. Which brings me to the last question of the show. Quincunks.
Could you say that slowly for me, please?
Sometimes I think I'm being set up by Dan here. Quincunks.
Quincunks.
Yes.
What is the name of the twin of Philomena?
Quincunks.
No, surely there's five of them at that point.
I was grasping towards that.
Oh, wait, that's Latin.
It is.
It is.
It's Latin of...
Oh, that shape feels familiar.
Okay, you got five. You got shape.
I just meant the shape of the word in my mouth, quincunks.
Oh.
Is it a pentagon then?
No, it's not. But it is a shape, an arrangement.
Is it a thing of punctuation?
No.
Is it a square-based pyramid, which would give 5 points?
From what angle?
Oh, straight above. So cross with a thing in it.
This is the name for an arrangement of 5 items, 4 in a square and 1 in the centre.
Oh, Fifth Element.
Multipass. Is it tally marks?
Oh, yes.
Oh, there's different tally marks across the world, isn't there?
Yeah.
Is it a 5 on a die?
Yes, it is. There. That is that arrangement. That arrangement is called a quincunks.
When I said punctuation, is the one that's always in my head is the proper name for the hashtag. Octothorpe. That's why I thought, is it a punctuation mark? Yeah.
And it's not the hashtag. The hashtag is the whole hash and the tag.
Oh,
the thing is called a hash or an octothorpe, not a pound symbol.
Ah, there is a reason why it's called a pound symbol, though, is because when you're drawing the pound shape, that is obviously L and I together to make Libras. If you're rushing that, you do that
you
same shape.
Yeah.
So that is why it is often called a pound sign.
Oh, yeah.
Which brings us to the end of the show. Matt, I think it's your turn to win this one.
It's your turn to win today.
Congratulations, you win a small wheel to help move a South Yorkshire City's mafia boss around after he's had too much Japanese pork and rice.
It's Don...
Doncaster's Doncaster.
It's Doncaster Don Katsu Doncaster.
Sorry, Katsu Doncaster.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to Chris Joel.
Yes.
Gary Brown.
Good evening.
Matt Gray. I've been Tom Scott. We'll see you next time.